God is always up to something good. Amen. He takes care of us. He watches over us, providing for us, and He's prepared an eternal home, there we go, for us. Amen. If you haven't done so, I would encourage you to fill out one of these little forms and get that turned in to me. Most of you have done that. Thank you. And there may be just a few of you that have not done that. I would appreciate your getting that turned in. We'd like to do a new bulletin with everybody's information in it, updated, and get that passed around soon. Well, the special day was about to arrive, and so the man went into a stationery store and he asked the clerk, could you direct me to the birthday anniversary cards? And the clerk kind of looked at him and he said, well, we have birthday cards and we have anniversary cards. You can get one of each of those. And the man says, you don't understand. I need a birthday anniversary card because we're going to celebrate my wife's fifth anniversary of their 34th birthday. In the classic film, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart plays the part of George Bailey. And if you remember, those of you who've seen the movie, George Bailey had a very forgetful Uncle Clarence. And what did Uncle Clarence do? He would tie strings all over his fingers trying to remember all the different things. And it was a futile effort because he could never remember what the strings were for. What do you have around your fingers? Some of you have wedding rings to remind you of a relationship, a commitment you made to a spouse for the rest of your life, right? And then we have all kinds of things. We don't have any, we've got some pictures up in our rental house, and pretty soon we will be nailing hooks all over the walls in our new house to put up memories of family members, pictures of family members in our house. Back in the Midwest at this weekend, the streets were lined with American flags in memory of those who had fallen, giving their lives so that we could have this freedom for the Memorial Day weekend and other holidays as well. We have shared in the Lord's Supper, and I've put out the table. It's usually in another location, but what do we have on the front of the communion table? Say it out loud with me. Do this in remembrance of me. Who is that talking? Jesus said, partake of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. And we have done that. We have gathered to remember Jesus Christ. That is the central focus why we're here today. Now, some people may because coming to show off their new hat. Anybody got a new hat today? I don't see any. Okay. Several of you looked around, didn't you? Who's got the hat? I thought those were out of style. we gather because we're here to remember Jesus, to encourage each other in fellowship, to spend time in prayer together, and to study God's Word, to go over the apostles' teachings together. The Apostle Peter wrote that he would always be ready to remind you of these things. We've just finished a series on the books of 1 Peter, the chapters and looking at different aspects of it. And today we're going to jump into the book of 2 Peter. And Peter writes there that he wants us to remember. He's writing to remind us of these things. What are these things? Well, the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul also wrote that their reminders would be a safeguard for us. What do we need to be reminded about from guys who were here on this earth 2,000 years ago? Is it really that important that it's still important? I believe so. Anybody else believe so? God's Word is necessary for us to remember. We have to be spurred. We got to be reminded. Sally knows that I take a lot of reminders. And sometimes they're notes, sometimes they're comments, sometimes they're Now, I won't go there. Okay. We need to be reminded of things over and over again. But most important is our welfare for eternity, our goodness for eternity. What was it that these men were willing to write down, give their lives for them, to literally die for their belief, so that we would have some information to remember? The Apostle Peter, in the closing days of his earthly life, took time to make sure that we would know what he believed was the most important thing for us. Let's take time to read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Some of you are saying, we didn't look at the first 11 verses. We'll do that next week, Lord willing, okay? But I wanted to get to this main thought where he states, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." Remember, a reminder. Call them to mind. He wants us to remember something. Well, I've kind of broadly taken into consideration the scripture today. What is it we need to remember? What is it the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, Apostle John wanted us to be reminded of? First of all, we need to pray to God and ask him for opening of our mind so we'll get the clutter out of the way. For me to get the clutter out of my way so I can speak. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, that you have opened up the door of salvation to all of us, to the entire world, through Jesus Christ. We thank you for a Savior. We thank you for a Redeemer. We thank you for him who has come and has promised to come again in power and glory and majesty. Father, we pray that we will be ready for the return of Jesus and that a multitude of others would join us in readiness because we remember the important things. Help us to remember the important things. We do thank you for those who have sacrificed their lives and given them so that we can have and enjoy this freedom to worship together, to vote, to live in a good land, to help other people, and so much more. But the most important thing is we thank you for Jesus, that he has conquered sin and death so that we might live eternally with you. Help us in understanding. Refresh us, remind us as we spend this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point is remember the coming of Jesus Christ. Remember the coming of Jesus Christ. We have been given this book that's full of information. And if you're not taking time to read portions of it on a regular basis, you're not going to find out the information that was given to you to remember, to remind you of what has taken place in the past, and so that we can be prepared for the future. Remember the coming of Jesus Christ. We all look forward to seeing loved ones. Sally and I are looking forward to seeing our boys in a couple of weeks so that they can do all the hard labor for us. We always enjoy speaking with somebody, but we especially like to see people that we love and care about. Whenever somebody who is prominent and important shows up, what happens? If they are out in the public, there's usually a big crowd joins and gathers around them. People want to have a photo op with a political leader, athlete, or an entertainer. They want to be seen with this popular person. But here, Peter pleads with us to remember the greatest visitor who came to this earth. Of course, we have not been privileged to see him with our own eyes yet, but we will. But 2,000 years ago, There was a man who was born as a baby. What was his name? Jesus. And he became known as Jesus of Nazareth because that's where they ended up, where he grew up. His arrival and life are a fact of history. His coming has influenced the entire world. A lot of people don't realize it, but when you look at the calendar, what year is it? 2021? Why do we have that number? Because we count back to when, theoretically, approximately, Jesus came to this world. Now, there are a lot of people who are trying to change how you refer to the A.D. or B.C. They've changed it to try to get away from the knowledge that Jesus Christ has come. They call it the common era instead of the time that Jesus came. Turn back in time with me as you think about your book of the Bible. The very first book is called what? Genesis, the book of beginnings. And in the book of beginnings, we see that God created the first man and the first woman. And with the very first sin, God promised a Savior that would come and relieve us of the sin. Genesis 3:15. For our all-knowing Heavenly Father, to say this, He must have known that we would have, that Adam and Eve would have sinned before it took place. God was not surprised. He was prepared. God knew before He made this creation that we would have choice and that we would choose poorly, that Adam and Eve would break His rules. He created this promise because He knew that we could not withstand Satan's temptations. That is why He was all ready to foretell the future victor over sin, the victor over death. And He tells us that He would conquer the power of Satan himself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 introduced that thought by the Apostle Peter. Fast forward with me to centuries later, around 1400 B.C., recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, all of you have Deuteronomy 18 memorized, right? Now, we go back there and we find that Moses wrote that someone greater than himself was coming. Now, think about this. Moses was personally able to go into the presence of God. He never saw God's face, but he was personally in the presence of God for at least two times that I can think of off the top of my head, in the presence of God for 40 days. How long is 40 days? 40 days, thank you. Weeks. Weeks. Over 5 weeks, almost 6 weeks at a time, he was with God, receiving God's word. God instructing him, giving him directions on how to build the tabernacle, giving him all of the law and letting him take time to write the law down. And God himself doing what with his finger? Writing the Ten Commandments on the tablets. Did it take God that long to write in stone? No. But Moses, and not only Moses, but also the 70 leaders of Israel had a banquet with God. Can you imagine having a banquet with God? That was a pretty special event. And so the people thought pretty highly of Moses. But Moses said, don't put your credit in stock, your trust in me. There's somebody who is more important that is coming, and you need to listen to him. He will speak God's word. Did the people listen? Well, unfortunately, no. You know, when there's a popular celebrity to be seen in the public, crowds will usually gather in for those photo ops. Moses was privileged to be in the very presence of God, and he said, don't trust in me, trust in the one that God is going to send. Moses said, watch for someone greater. Isaiah's book is filled with so many prophecies, prophecy after prophecy regarding the coming Savior, written 700 years before Jesus even came. Chapter 7, verse 14, chapter 9, 27, chapter 11, 1 through 5. I mean, the list goes on and on of the most outstanding foretellings of what Jesus would do during his life on this earth. So much so that most scholars refer to Isaiah as the messianic prophet because he revealed so much about Jesus. 700 years before Jesus stepped his foot, his baby foot in this world. How much can you foretell? You know, with our children, if you keep doing that, you know what you're going to get? Sometimes we can foretell in a few moments or maybe a day or two some things. But to tell about the entire life of Jesus, we could pretty much describe the life of Jesus by reading the book of Isaiah. Remember that unlike any other human being, Jesus was triumphant over what? Over death. And he now lives in heaven. He was seen by Stephen as Stephen was being stoned to death. Stephen testified that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Not only do we have Stephen's record, but we have the Apostle Paul talking about an experience he had. And of course, the Apostle John, what book did he write to tell us about seeing Jesus? Anybody? Revelation! Revelation. It's all about the message that Jesus revealed so that all of us would be prepared for the future. Jesus is the master of heaven. And he is the triumphant king. Grave could not hold him down. Remember that it's not just that Jesus conquered the grave and went to heaven. What else is going to happen? Jesus is the one who's promised he's going to return. Jesus is returning. Are we ready? It could be today. There's some clouds outside. In the next day or two, there's going to be lots of clouds. And he promised to come in the clouds, right? We may not make it through this sermon. Any hallelujahs? You know, we have to be ready. Jesus needs to be remembered. How often? All the time. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the judge of every soul. His enemies will cry in terror when he comes, but we will shout in victory. I hope all of you will shout with victory. Amen? We'll shout a hallelujah. We sang about it here a few moments ago. As you face the challenges of each and every day, remember the coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer for all humanity. Remember him, remember him, remember him constantly. When you go out and you get in that heavy traffic and somebody cuts you off, who do you remember? Not the policeman. Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember the power of Jesus Christ. Remember his power. The Bible records that Jesus gained the attention of the first century crowds. The multitudes came out because Jesus performed miracles. Amazing miracles of healing, of help and strength that just flabbergasted the people. And they wanted to come and see Jesus. Many people around us try to be powerful too, you know. But sooner or later they end up a flop. Right? We have athletes who claim that they are superhuman and pretty soon their superhuman strength disappears. You know, it's unfortunate. Muhammad Ali, I grew up during his time space. He claimed to be the greatest athlete of the time. And he ended up with Parkinson's disease. Is he still alive? No. He's dead and gone. And we've got all kinds of other athletes. You know, businessmen, they think that they got control of the world. And there's a bunch of businessmen that are messing with our society, our culture now. Someday they will be gone. There are politicians who think they're in total control, but they are only temporary as well. All are temporary lords. But Jesus Christ continues for how long? Forever. He is reigning forever. He is the most powerful King, Lord, Master of the eternity. In fact, there is no other Lord or King who can even remotely compare to Jesus Christ. The earth is littered with the crumbling remains of kingdoms, of dynasties, of reigns, of empires. But the perfect spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ will continue forever. That's a promise of God, and we see it continuing to grow. Now, it's a little frustrating right now during this COVID lockdown. We wish that more people were coming out. Does that mean the church is dying? No, never. The church will continue. The church will continue to reign. And when Jesus comes back, His people will be raised up, glorified, honored, and blessed with eternal life. You know, within the throughout the New Testament, we can find all kinds of information about the greatness of Jesus Christ. But it's kind of interesting. In Luke chapter 8 and 9, we find several qualities of the power of Jesus Christ. Let me run through that list real quick. You can follow along here. In Luke chapter 8, verse 40, records the reaction of the multitudes of the people to his powerful teachings. People were just drawn in to the teachings of Jesus. They said, nobody else has ever taught us like this before. And people loved to come and listen to Jesus speak. Those were people who were looking for God, and they flocked to Jesus, ignoring their work, they ignored their family, they ignored their responsibilities, because Jesus was just so interesting to listen to. They went off into the wilderness without packing a lunch. Just to do what? To listen to Jesus. You known any people lately that you would forget to pack a lunch to go enjoy listening to them? Jesus spoke with authority. He instructed them. He guided the sin-sick souls to the salvation of God, and people were hungering and thirsting for those words of life. Are we still hungering for words of life from Jesus? If we are, we'll be taking time to read His Word. We also find that His powerful healings are referred to throughout the Gospels. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43 and following, refers to the healing of a woman who was slowly bleeding to death. The sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the leprous, we could go on with a list. Everybody who came into contact with Jesus, who was commanded to be healed by Jesus, they were healed. Not a single failure. Jesus' healings were powerful. Not only that, we see that the spiritual powers submitted to the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 and following, records the demon-possessed man who came running to Jesus, and everybody else that he came in contact with, he would scare him to death. But when he came to Jesus, what did he do? He fell at the feet of Jesus and pleaded, the evil spirit pleaded for its safety. Jesus had power over the spiritual powers of darkness. You know, our society and our culture is obsessed with looking at evil and corruption more and more. When you look at various television programs and movies, a lot of people are curious about the unseen powers. Eastern mysticism and other fantasy beliefs have flooded our entertainment world. They ooze into your homes whenever you have your televisions on and turn to certain TV programs. What do we need to do when that happens? Turn it off or turn it into a different channel. Go find something else. Open up your Bible. Get into God's Word. Guard your minds. Put your life in the hands of Jesus, who drove out evil spirit and over evil powers. Remember that Jesus had the true power over nature. Luke chapter 8, recorded also in the book of John and Mark. You know, as a child, I read a lot of comic books. None of you have ever read comic books. I'm the only weird one. But, you know, those comic books told stories about these superhuman people who had power over nature. There's several movies that have resulted also, Superman, X-Men, and the list could go on. You know, they just by mind thought they can do things. Well, that is all fantasy. I hate to break that to you. It's fantasy. Okay? If anybody's fallen for that. David, it's fantasy. Okay. But Jesus, he was the real McCoy. He was the real one. Right? How many of you can walk on water? It doesn't work very good if you don't know where the rocks are, especially. Jerry and I were talking about that the other day. Jesus had power over the nature with one word, or one little short sentence, peace, be still, three words. He stopped a storm instantly. The waves stopped. That doesn't just happen by accident. Doesn't happen naturally. Jesus fed the multitude. We're going to get to that here in a second. Let's go on with this next point. Remember Christ's power to create. His power to create. Jesus proved he is the creator during his walk on this earth. How do I say that? Why should I say that? He provided a full meal for a multitude of 5,000 men, plus women and children, which we are not told how many that included, with a little sack lunch. Five loaves, I would say five biscuits, and two fish. And what was left over? 12 large baskets of remaining from a little sack lunch. Where did it all come from? Jesus created it. With just his word. He gave a blessing and started passing out food. Poof, there it is. Poof, there it is. There it is. There it is. The creator at work right in front of people's eyes. Handing out created food. When he performed the miracles of healings. Where did all that new bone, that new muscle, that new sinew, the new blood, where did it all come from? From the hand of the Creator, Jesus. We are told in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, that Jesus is the Creator, the Word of God, at work, right before the eyes of the people. Greater than all that, we remember that Jesus had the power to raise the dead. The dead rose. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. The list goes on. Several people were raised back to life. And it didn't stop with Jesus. We see that the apostles were also given power. Peter urges us to refresh our thoughts and renew our devotion to remember the power of who? Jesus. Remember his power. Take time. If you get down, frustrated, depressed, where should your thoughts go? Go back to Jesus. Think about his goodness, his blessing, every single day. And our last point is remember the majesty of Jesus. Remember his majesty. Remember God's recognition of his son when he was baptized, recorded in Luke chapter 3 and other passages. As Jesus was raised up out of the Jordan water at his baptism by his cousin John, the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven, landed on him, and instantly our Heavenly Father boomed out in a thunderous voice, "This is my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now most of the people who were there, all they heard was thunder. But John the Baptist heard and understood and testified. And John the Apostle wrote it down so that we would know God Almighty gave credit to who? Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is worthy of recognition for his majesty. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 and following. As Jesus prayed, his appearance changed to a glorious, brilliant, bright light as Moses and Elijah joined him, revealing just a portion of his majesty and his glory from heaven. Remember the majesty of his triumphal entry as the multitudes of people that were gathered in Jerusalem celebrated him. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they cast down their robes, they threw down the palm branches and branches from other trees to celebrate the coming king. They saw and recognized Jesus as the majestic one, the fulfillment of prophecy. Remember the glory of his resurrection. He was accompanied by angels. How many of you have angels that show up and help you out? Well, the scripture tells us we have angels that take care of us, but most of the time we don't even see them or recognize them. But they reveal themselves at the empty tomb and told the disciples, "Why are you here? He's not here. He's risen from the dead, just like he said. He's the majestic one. He's the king of life. Why are you looking in a dead man's tomb?" Remember the majesty of heaven revealed in Revelation. John's vision is the glorious harmony with the awesome visions that also come to us from the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Remember the day of victory is coming soon when Christ will return to judge all of humanity. Are we ready? He is the majestic one. He is the victorious one. And we will answer to Jesus. God has repeatedly warned us that our present heavens and earth will be destroyed. They'll be gone away. The heavens are going to split open when Jesus Christ and his angel armies come in full majesty and full power, and all of humanity will be gathered before the throne to answer to who? To Jesus. Have we recognized Jesus, honored Jesus, remembered Jesus, lived for Jesus? Remember the majesty of Jesus. God has given us his written eternal word, commanding us to learn from it, to remember it, to study it, to reflect upon it. Peter wrote his testimony of the truth and the reality of the power and the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. So as you live for Jesus, you will remind not only yourself about his glory, but also the people around you. Help them remember Jesus. Your living testimony will be the sermon of hope and life. Somebody will look at you and say, "What? Are you a Christian? What makes you so different? How can you smile when all this bad stuff is happening? How can you have your positive outlook on life when the world is falling apart?" Because of Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remind each other about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Maybe you even want to write about Jesus. That's what Peter did. He said, "I write these things down to do what? To remind you of the most important person in the world, Jesus Christ." Are you writing about Jesus in your diaries, in your daily notes, in your letters? Might be an opportunity to be a witness, to remind the world of the greatest person who has ever walked this face of this earth, Jesus. Remind each other. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to remember Jesus, to remind each other of Jesus, to be constantly thinking about ways that we can grow in Jesus Christ as we face the challenges of life, even in our work situations, in our family relationships, in the struggles with neighbors, with bills, whatever it is. Father, help us to apply your truths that come to us because of Jesus, the blessings that come because of Jesus. Be with us as we move forward to lift up Jesus Christ in our words, actions, lifestyles, all things. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.